As we go through the course of this morning's message, we'll be considering some of these profound truths that God is teaching. This morning or today is Pentecost. It's when the Spirit was poured out on the church, and it's going to be intertwined in this morning's message as well as we look and listen to what Jesus is saying. You know, we meet in a classroom, and the disciples were those who walked and talked with Jesus and learned from him. The Word is a learner. A disciple is a learner. And what a blessing to learn who Jesus is this morning. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have designed that the preaching of your word is to be a means by which we know our Savior and know our salvation. We pray that your Spirit would be upon us, that we may be comforted and strengthened in our awareness of who Jesus is as the way, the truth, and the life. Hear us, we pray in his name. Amen. We're looking this morning, and the 3 points for this morning's message are going to be an unfolding of that reality that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is a phrase that occurs right here in verse 6 when Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And it reminds us that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But it's surrounded in a context that is rather difficult. Thomas and Philip's and even Judas's reaction reminds us that there are some very important truths here, but there's very profound truths that we need to listen carefully and think together and learn what Jesus is saying. Because these words have great spiritual value. On the surface, you might be confused. You might think, what's the point of knowing this about Jesus? And so we need to listen and learn again what Jesus is teaching. And to illustrate this, a few years ago, there was an article in the news about the Kober family, and maybe you don't remember the name, maybe you don't recognize the name, but they were a family who had a painting in their lounge, and they always referred to it as the Mike, because it reflected kind of the style of Michelangelo. And it had been handed down to them from a family member, and they had it there, and they didn't think much about it. It was kind of a family joke. One time it got hit with a tennis ball, another time they were dusting it, and it fell down, so they thought, well, if it has any value, maybe we should protect it a little bit. So they wrapped it up and put it behind the couch. Finally, after Mr. Kober retired, he had some time on his hands, and so he thought, well, let me investigate this painting to see what sort of painting it is. So he took it to an art historian, an art expert, and they realized, well, it looks like, and it probably is, a real Michelangelo. What they had thought was a family joke ended up actually being worth about $300 million. And all of a sudden, they saw the value of this painting. That's how we come to God's Word this morning. We hear these familiar words of Jesus, and we probably use them to tell people again how Jesus is the only way to heaven, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. But we need to understand this not by sight, but by faith, and see how Jesus is preparing us for his departure as he prepared his disciples, that he's not here on earth. He's not like the family heirloom that we can take people and say, see, I've got it here. Let me show you the value, the treasure that he has shown us. As we look at this chapter, it's a very difficult chapter because it's one long discourse that Jesus has in which he's instructing his disciples. But I'd like to look at what Jesus is teaching, what Jesus is revealing about himself with these three statements, the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Now, way. The word way obviously suggests a road, a path, or a route to follow to get to a place. And it seems like that's what Jesus is saying in verse 4. And you know the way to where I am going. He just talked about a place. I go to a place to prepare it for you. And I prepare a place for you. Who of us can fault Thomas's response? Lord, we don't know where you're going. Is just Jesus being just a little too cryptic here. He's hiding the truth of what he's saying in difficult language. Jesus knows what he's doing, and he wants us to listen carefully to him as well. He speaks of a place, of the way. And Thomas resounds our limitations. When you hear of a place or a way that is Jesus, our expectations are somewhat limited. We interpret this to mean that Jesus is a way to a place. And if I would ask you, where do believers go when they die? Many of us would say, heaven. And it would mean that place where we go. And it sounds like this is what Jesus is saying. And that's not a wrong answer. That is a right answer. But there's more value. That's the superficial understanding. There's more value to what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is revealing. So often we think of the significance of heaven as a place that's out of this world. It's this out of this world paradise, presence. It's this place that we're going to go to. And it is that. But there's something more significant than heaven itself. Now listen carefully to what Jesus says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and immediately we're in that time-space realm and we're thinking, ah, yes, we know where that place is. It's heaven. But then Jesus says, if he's done that, this is what the glory of that is going to be. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. What Jesus is referring to as the way, the place where he wants us to be, the place where Jesus wants to take us, is the presence of the Father. Sure, it is the place of heaven, but what's the significance, what's the value, the spiritual value of heaven is that it's the throne room of God. It's the house where the Father lives. And we've experienced that working from home has taken on a variety of different meanings for a variety of different people. But here's what God wants us to understand. Going home is not just about getting to a place. It's about getting to the Father's presence. That's what Jesus is looking forward to. That's what Jesus is preparing for. Jesus is looking forward to that time in which he will be received back into the Father's presence. Now, Jesus wasn't the prodigal son, but it's like the prodigal son. And the parable that Jesus teaches about that prodigal son, the privilege of having the Father's presence, that the Father goes out to meet him and to welcome him back and to say, welcome home, you're here with me. My son was lost, but now is alive. That is the way Jesus is making. You can only go to the Father through him. Think for a moment, no. If Jesus is saying, I'm the way to the Father's presence, think about how that changes how we need to look at things, how we need to value things. If heaven is a destination, only a destination, then the question automatically becomes, well, what do you need to do to get there? Well, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. And that wouldn't be wrong, but Jesus is teaching something more profound. If heaven is the presence of the Father, it's that place where you're welcomed into the arms of the Father. If it's that and a destination, then the question, who do you need to know to get there? Who do you need to know in order to be welcomed home? You need to know Jesus. You need to be like Jesus. You know, a few years ago we went to the American Embassy. I've forgotten why we had to go there, but to get into the American Embassy, you have to have an appointment, and you have to have a passport. It doesn't matter who you are, to get into the embassy, you have to have those qualifications. Well, so it is with the Father's presence. Who do you know? Why will you be allowed there? Why is it that Jesus is going to come again and take us to himself so that where he is, we will be also? Because he longs to be in the Father's presence. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way to the Father. And to understand this, then, we need to grasp that he is the truth as well. The truth that is allowed to exist. There's no deceit. There's no deception. That's the problem. That's why we wouldn't be allowed in, because of our sin, because of our guilt, because in the presence of the Father, only purity can exist. And so, secondly, Jesus is the truth. I am the way, and I am the truth. He is the truth of the unity of the triune God, that there exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one person, one essence. Not one person, one essence, one substance, each with a unique person. There's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus can teach. Because of this bond of unity, the Father is in the Son, and the Son in the Father. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. This is verse 9. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you want to know the Father? Do you want to know the love and the care and the concern of the Father? When you know the Son, you know the Father's love, how deep the Father's love for us. He gave us His Son. And when you know the Father, you know the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that even while we don't have Jesus in our presence, we do. We do, because the Spirit, where the Spirit is, there is Christ. Here is the truth. That should be so valuable. The truth is expressed in the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus is reconciling us to the Father. Where we don't belong, we have this privilege of belonging. And what does that mean? It means, well, the works we do are going to be greater than Jesus. How is that possible? Well, what was the greatness of Jesus' work? The greatness of Jesus' work was to bring glory to the Father. To show himself to be the Son of God. To show himself to be the gift from the Father. And you want to do a greater work than Jesus with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Here is someone who doesn't belong. We are sinners who by nature have this nature from Adam. But here is the blessing. A greater work you will do, because you will have the Spirit and you will show that I am working in you. Or later in verses 23 and 24, we have the words of Jesus. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is when we have the Holy Spirit and we love God's word, and we keep his word, and we follow his word. Then we have the Father present with us, and we have the Son present with us. And in the provision of the Holy Spirit, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. What a precious gift for the disciples. You're going to be entrusted with the Holy Spirit because you have a ministry of the Word, and we have the Gospel. And we have the New Testament, because the Spirit brought to mind all the truth that God's people need to know. We have the truth of Christ because we have the Spirit. The Spirit is identified as the Spirit of truth. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the truth of Jesus' word. This is the spiritual value of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit present among us, verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. What a blessing to know the truth. The world overlooks us and says, you Christians, you're so much like us. And in fact, they want us to be like them because then they have an excuse for carrying on in what they do. But they don't see the value. We're just ordinary people like everybody else. But the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of who Christ is means that no, we actually have God in us and with us and for us. Well, the blessing of knowing that truth that Jesus says needs to be evaluated and valued with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I am the way. We go into the Father's presence through him. The truth, we certainly have that intimate spiritual communion through Jesus. And I am the light. The light. Verse 19b reminds us of the wonder. Because I live, you also will live. This relates to much earlier. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life. Because I live, you also live. All of our existence depends on Jesus. What sort of life is that then? What's the value of that life that we have from Jesus? Well, there's several dimensions to it. It's a life of faith, a life of believing, a life of clinging to. Faith is the deep-rooted assurance created in us by the Holy Spirit that we belong to the Son. It's believing not only in the Son, it's believing in the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Son will come again and bring us to the Father. The Father has given us the Son with his word and his work, and the Spirit is teaching and renewing disciples to cling to Jesus. The life of faith. And the life of faith, Jesus says, believe me, trust me. It's a life of prayer. Knowing the value of Jesus will bring out a life of prayer. Verses 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is encouraging us, pray. Pray. The spiritual value of knowing Jesus is there's this opportunity to pray and to petition the Father. The life of belonging to Jesus is a life of loving. Verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This will be further developed in chapter 15, which we'll get to next week, Lord willing. It's a life of joy and a life of sorrow. It's a life of faith, a life of praying, a life of loving, a life that is filled sometimes with anxiety. Jesus says, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's peace through this truth. Verse 27, peace. Peace I leave with you. It's the whole well-being of the body and soul. It's the shalom of the Old Testament. It's the wholeness and the restoration of everything that had been lost in paradise. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I think it comes again as so much of what Jesus teaches comes around again. Why? Because you're going to the Father and nothing will stop you from arriving in his presence. Jesus prepares for his departure. For his ascension into heaven and his gift of the Holy Spirit with this revelation, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He gives this to us to hang on, to hold on, to strengthen and bolster our confidence of his hold on us. that while he is on up in heaven and we are on earth, we haven't been abandoned, we haven't been forsaken, we haven't been forgotten. We're not orphans. We have the Spirit. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, we begin to understand the value of these words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We started out talking about the Kober family. Once they realized the value of their painting, $300 million worth more than everything else they owned, well, they treated it differently. They insured it. They didn't keep it at home anymore. They put it in a secure vault because they wanted to maintain their treasure. So it is with Jesus. His value is to be measured, to be understood, to be appreciated, not to be locked away in a secure vault, but to be displayed for the world to see and to know, measured by what he secures for us. The way to the Father, the truth of the Father and the Holy Spirit and his presence with us. By faith in him, life isn't for when you get to heaven. It's right here, right now. That's the truth. And the life of faith, the life of prayer, a life of loving, a life of peace and contentment and joy and fellowship in the triune God. For the wonder of who Jesus is. And the disciples scratched their head and they said, Jesus, where are you going? What are you doing? Show us more. And we have it all. Because with the presence of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see this. And we begin to appreciate this value. May you display this. Because it's more than the Mike or a Michelangelo or all the gold and the silver of this world. It is the way of Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this revelation of Jesus. We're thankful for the intimacy of Jesus' relationship with us, that he wants us to know and understand and believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in having him, in knowing him, we have fellowship and communion with the triune God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to appreciate this more and more each day, and to show the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives by believing, by praying, by loving, and by knowing the peace that is ours, that surpasses understanding, but can be known in knowing your Son. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. For our song of response, let's sing together number 226, We Come, O Christ, to You, True Son of God and Man. And note stanza 3, stanza 2, You are the way to God. Your blood, our ransom paid. Stanza 3, You are the living truth. All wisdom dwells in you. And stanza 4, You only are true life. To know you is to live. So let's sing the first four stanzas, number 226.